Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are actually going to be doing something a little different this morning. We're going to begin to prepare ourselves for something very, very special happening this month. There are a lot of things that are one-time things. There are other things that we mark annually as holidays, things that once a year we set apart a day to celebrate that. What is a holiday? What does that mean? Well, the term comes from holy day, a day set apart. What are some examples of American holidays? What would come to mind? How about Memorial Day? That's one that we celebrate at the start of summer. Labor Day, it's at the end of summer. But in the middle of the summer is the one that people really love. July 4th, hot dogs, fireworks, all kinds of fun. July 4th, great time. It's wonderful if you can swim in a river, go to the beach, at least dive in a pool, do something. It is July 4th. How many of you like July 4th? Good, I agree. Sadly, tons of people don't seem to understand what July 4th is celebrating. They really don't. They certainly don't know what Memorial Day or Labor Day are about. Most Americans don't get really excited about President's Day. For most Americans, President's Day is simply a day off. And for most Americans, I fear that a holiday is pretty much just a day off. That's really what we celebrate. What are you celebrating? I get a day off. Oh. But there are other holidays in America. Super Bowl Sunday. What if you don't like football? What if you think football is something that involves soccer? What if you're really more a fan of the NBA? What about the Sweet 16, if you like college? Ooh. We've got all kinds of different things that different folks celebrate, and those are just the American holidays. What about Jewish holidays? The first holiday in world history is one that the Jews celebrate. Shabbat, Sabbath. God established that holiday. And it doesn't come once a year, it comes once a week. God said, "I want everybody to take a day off to remember that I'm the one who created everything. And I rested from my work on the Sabbath. I want you to rest from yours on the Sabbath also." Okay, Pastor Wood, are you about to announce that the ranch is becoming Seventh-day Adventist? No. But certainly if you want to understand holidays in an accurate, biblical, and linguistic sense, you need to know that the first holiday was the one established by God, and it comes once a week. Then, of course, there's Rosh Hashanah, that's Jewish New Year. There is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. There is the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. There's Hanukkah. That was one that was not established in the Scriptures, but it is very dear to the Jewish people. There's Purim. You can read about that in the book of Esther. And of course, there is one that we pay special attention to called Passover, because that was how God told them they were to remember the fact that he brought his people out of Egypt in a miraculous way. But the reason we celebrate Passover is because Jesus showed us that the whole design of that experience was to point to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so we celebrate what Jesus did every week as we take communion. What about the Christian holidays? If I were to ask you to name some Christian holidays, you'd probably think of Christmas, right? We like Christmas, don't we? What is Christmas about? Well, Santa Claus, fat man comes down a chimney without getting stuck and brings me presents, and I love that. That has nothing to do with Christmas, okay? My kids were not taught that Santa is really Satan with the letters changed. My kids were also not deluded into thinking that somehow that was real until they got older and then they found out mommy and daddy are liars. My kids from the start were told the truth. And so when we'd go to the mall, they didn't get all excited that, Santa, can we sit in his lap? They were like, oh, look, there's another guy dressed as Santa Claus. No big deal. Not scary, not evil, not exciting, just some man who needs a job at the holidays. Okay? Christmas is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And as we all know, Jesus was born on December 25th. The Eastern Church says he was born in early January. That's when they celebrate Christmas. Which one is right? Neither one. Or maybe one. We don't know when Jesus was born. You know why we don't know? Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't even say what month he was born in. Oh, that's disappointing. Why? If we needed to know when he was born, then God would have told us. Well, so are you saying we should not celebrate Christmas? No, I'm saying it is a wonderful thing to remember the miracle of the incarnation, that God became a man, the Word became flesh. That is a great thing to celebrate. It is absolutely amazing. It is wonderfully joyous. It is good to celebrate that. And giving gifts to one another in celebration of the gift that God gave to us, perfectly fine. Becoming materialistic and focused on what I'm going to get this year is sick and totally distorts what Christmas should be all about. And then there's Easter. Those are really the two Christian holidays that Americans believe in. And for some people, they think they're Christian because they go to church twice a year, Christmas and Easter. That won't make you a Christian. Going to church every week, three times a week, won't make you a Christian. Trusting Jesus as your only hope of salvation, yielding your life to him, that's what being a Christian is about. And God is the one who works that change in us. Easter is a name that has its roots in paganism. But some people, therefore, want to call it Resurrection Sunday, which I think is a great idea because it reminds us of what we're supposed to be celebrating on that day. The fact that Jesus conquered death for us. We just sang about it this morning. He conquered death for us. Do you understand what a big deal that is? That should be a bigger celebration in many ways than Christmas. Because Obviously, Jesus couldn't have died and risen again if he hadn't been born. So Christmas is wonderful and important. But we do have an idea, a very good idea, of when Jesus rose from the dead. It was on the first day of the week, which is why, historically, most Christians celebrate their Sabbath on the first day of the week, celebrating the fact that Jesus is alive and he's brought in a whole new life for all who believe. So, along with celebrating Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate Good Friday. Well, some will say, you know, actually there's some argument to be made that he died on Thursday. I'm not even going to get into that. I'm just going to tell you, we need to be celebrating his death, burial, and resurrection, because that's what the Bible tells us. And it happened at Jewish Passover. So that's why we know what time of year it was. Okay? And he rose on the first day of the week, because the Bible says so. So, celebrate. We do that once a year, or arguably once a week, because every Sunday we are celebrating the fact that he rose from the dead. And every time we take communion, we remember what he did. When you do this, you show forth the Lord's death till he comes. So, we could say Christmas, Good Friday, Easter. And then, of course, some Christians also celebrate like Ash Wednesday, start of Lent. I grew up thinking Lent was something you got in your pockets. But I learned more as I got older, became exposed to other things. But Ash Wednesday, and then Maundy Thursday. If we want to talk about Mondays, it's not so much on the Christian calendar. Monday's kind of the day after Sunday. Most of our weekday names also have their roots in paganism, but we're not going to get into that. I mean, it would be, in my opinion, very silly and counterproductive for people who want to win others to Christ to insist that we have to have new names for all our days. Okay. But if you want to get to celebrating Mondays, then we're going to have to talk about American holidays again, because that's when we do a lot of our holidays so that we can have a long weekend, you see. But we're not going to go there. There are other Christian holidays that are worth noting, things like Pentecost or Ascension Sunday, which is prior to Pentecost. I mean, you can have all kinds of holidays if you want, but it's important to know what you're celebrating. The word, as I said, refers to a holy day, which is a day set apart. The word in Hebrew for holy, I'm not good at Hebrew, but I'm going to say it's kadosh. If you bring it over into English, Q-A-D-O-S-H. And then there are several variants of that, okay? Similar spellings, same basic meaning. And it refers to something being set apart. And so there are many, many places where it's used, but I'm going to give you just a few. In Exodus 35:2, for example, God is speaking of the Sabbath. And he says, for 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it must be put to death. Whoa. Are you serious? Absolutely. God said that the penalty for not observing a once-a-week holiday is death? Yep. Well, I've never really heard that before. Well, that could be because In the New Covenant, we are told explicitly that all those things point to Jesus. And so now, in the New Covenant, there is a different kind of freedom. There is a different kind of celebration of Christ, who is our Sabbath. Romans chapter 14. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Kadosh, set apart. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Apparently, in the New Covenant, as part of the body of Christ, we are no longer under the law, which doesn't mean we just do whatever we feel like. We are to do what we believe God would have us to do, and God doesn't tell everybody to do the same thing. Even under the Old Covenant, the Nazarites were required to follow a different set of regulations that the rest of the population didn't have to. The priests were given certain regulations to follow that the general populace did not have to. But in the New Covenant, we are now a kingdom of priests. It's not this guy over here is a priest and the rest of us, man. No, all of us who are in Christ Jesus are kadosh, holy to the Lord. That term, kadosh, or a variant of it, is used to describe not only certain days, but certain people, and certain places, and certain things. And if you go with the variants of it, it is also used to describe people who are set apart not for the Lord, but for other things, like destruction or harlotry. It could even be used to describe the special dish that I have for my cats. You understand why? It's set apart. This morning, I took a Kleenex and grabbed hold of the dishes that had my cat's food in them and put them outside the door there. Well, do you handle the dishes in the kitchen with a Kleenex? No, because they don't have cat slobber all over them. Okay? But when I'm handling a dish that is the cat food dish, I treat it differently because it is a dish set apart for the cats. You understand that? You're saying it's a holy dish? Yes, holy to the cats. Understand? Okay, you and I, if we know the Lord, are holy to the Lord. We are set apart for him. And our approach to holidays should reflect the fact that we are not like the world. We are set apart to him. And so the things that excite the world are not going to be as exciting to us. That doesn't mean we can't care about who wins the Super Bowl. But it certainly means we don't get so pumped about that that it totally eclipses our excitement about what Jesus did for us, which is the case with many people, which is why most American churches cannot have a normal worship service on Super Bowl Sunday night. Can't happen. Can't happen. Why? Because nobody would come. Yes, they would. I mean, there's something very wrong with the American church. Because we are much, as a people, we are much more excited about sports than we are about Jesus. And there's more fellowship at a lot of tailgate parties than there is at a lot of churches. And we have places in our culture that we are much more excited about than we are about gathering to worship the Lord. Something's wrong. We've forgotten who we belong to. We've forgotten what he did to purchase us. So this month, every year, the month of October, the ranch celebrates a holiday that is one of the highlights of the year for those of us here at the ranch. October 31st is... Thank you. Say that again a little louder for those who aren't sure.
Reformation Day.
Reformation Day. Absolutely. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking this month about the Reformation. Oh, Pastor Wood, I've been here for years. I've heard you so many times about this. Do you want to do it? No, you go right ahead. So, God willing, next time we meet together, we're going to talk about Halloween. We're going to talk about how it got started, why it's called that, etc. And then we're going to talk about what Reformation really is all about and what the Reformation is all about. And then, God willing, we're going to talk about the power of God's Word, which is at the heart of what the Reformation is all about. And then, God willing, we're going to talk about the solas. The what? The solas. And then we'll see where the Lord takes us from there, possibly talking about a number of reformers. There are quite a few. John Wycliffe, Jan Hus, Jerome of Prague, doesn't usually get a lot of press, William Tyndale, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Ulrich Zwingli, and there were some ladies too. And you're going to study and learn about them and write reports about them. And it's actually going to be a fun celebration, because at the end of the month, in order to mark the Reformation, we really party, because we have something to celebrate. A holiday is a holy day. It is a day set apart. God wanted his people to have days when they remembered what he has done. And the first one that he instituted was the Sabbath, a weekly holiday for everybody, rich or poor, young or old. God likes celebration. He doesn't want us moping around all the time or thinking that only once a year do we need to remember what he has done. We need to remember what he has done all the time. And we need to give thanks all the time in every circumstance.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.